Well, so for the past 5 weeks or so, we've been in this series called 40 Days of Community. And we've been really talking a lot about how do we build relationships within our congregation and outside to our community at large. Now, if you hear that word community, you don't see that necessarily a lot in the Bible, but kind of the word that we're looking for is the word fellowship. And that's the word that the Bible would use, especially the New Testament. Now, when you think of fellowship, oftentimes what you think about is food, right? We're going to get together and eat some food. Not that that's ever a bad idea, but fellowship is beyond just gathering food. It's beyond just an event. Fellowship is how we interact with one another, how we relate to one another, how we support one another. And the word for fellowship is koinonia, and koinonia has this idea within it of participating and sharing and giving of yourself in that moment to that relationship or those relationships. And when the Bible speaks about sharing and about giving, the context is almost always about how to do so generously. To not do so kind of scrimping, just enough to get by, but about how to fully engage in what you're doing and to give more of yourself, to go above and beyond, to take it to that next level. So if we're going to have biblical community, we're going to have a generous spirit. It's going to have to come from somewhere deep within us that we can take then to the next level. Carl Menninger, famous psychiatrist, started the Menninger Clinic. He said this: giving is a very good criterion, in a way, of a person's mental health. Generous people are rarely mentally ill people. Now that's something, isn't it? Because it's beyond just the financial stand. People who give of themselves to other people, their time, their energy, their talents, tend to be a healthier people all around. So it gives us something to aim for, to shoot for, as we approach our lives. So let's answer first this question: why should we be generous? Why even go there? Beside the mental health benefits, let's take a look at a few others. One of the things that being a generous person does for us is that it creates community. Generosity creates community. Look at 2 Corinthians 9. We're going to spend a lot of time in 2 Corinthians 9 and some in chapter 8. But it says this: your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Now notice what is happening here. There's this binding action that is taking place with generosity. It brings people together and unites them in something. When we're generous with other people and with each other, we wind up thanking God for one another. It connects us to one another. Randy Frazee, an author and pastor, learn something about the connection with generosity and relationship building. And he wrote this. He said, "My neighbor asked if he could borrow my ladder. I said, of course. I later learned that he already had one of his own. He didn't need to borrow my ladder. He just used it as a way to build our relationship. When he borrowed my stuff, it made me feel that I was needed, and I liked that feeling." Now, I think that's a great idea. And I'm going to employ that in my own life. And beginning this week, I'm going to ask if I could borrow my neighbor's Corvette. I'm just going to see if we can build a relationship on that. Matthew 6:21 says this: "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now think about, where is your treasure? It's wherever you put your time, your money, your energy. That's where your heart is. So let me ask you this. Let's do a little spiritual EKG. Where is your heart right now? Where does it tend to be? Is it in your home, boat, your trips, your work, a hobby? Where do you put your time and money and energy? Where is it flowing to? Because that's where your heart is. It shows you where your treasure is, and then you just follow that to the heart. And so often, our hearts are with things rather than with people. So how can we change that? How can we defeat the materialism that is so easy for us to buy into, especially in our culture? How can we reject it and move it out? Well, generosity helps with that, because what generosity does is defeats materialism. The antidote to materialism is generosity. Every time you're generous, you have a spiritual victory in your heart. Because what tends to happen is the flesh wants to get a hold of what's mine. We want to hang on to things. We like the security that things have for us. Whether it's how we're measuring our bank account, or we're looking in our garage, or we're stepping out and we're looking at our houses. Whatever it is we're doing, we're looking at the stuff in our lives. We're looking at the things that we're doing, and we're saying, I have a lot of that. We even look at our time, and we guard our time. And so we say, I can't give anything up. I can't go volunteer here because I might miss out on something that I want to do. And it takes a hold of us. And the only way to break that monster's back is to be generous, is to go above and beyond, to bring that spirit into our lives. Matthew 6:24 says this: you cannot serve both God and money. Now, you might circle the word cannot. It doesn't say it's hard to, or it takes a lot of effort. It just says you cannot. It is a choice you have to make as a follower of Jesus. Which will you serve? Because you can't serve both. You will love the one and hate the other. So which one will you love? And which one will you hate? So anytime that we are generous with other people, we are creating community with them and defeating materialism. But generosity also takes us another step. And that is that it strengthens our faith. When I choose to be generous, it can strengthen my faith. Verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 9, because of the service by which you have proved your confession of the gospel of Christ. Sooner or later, you have to decide, do I believe all those promises in the Bible? The book of James tells us that faith without works is what? Dead. It's easy to say, I believe, but not do anything with it, to not do anything with that belief. And generosity gives us an opportunity to say, I trust God, to provide even though I give away. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And we see this in other aspects of our life, don't we? Judgmental people tend to get what? Judged. Critical people get criticized a lot. Gossipers get gossiped about. Keep that in mind the next time you gossip. And haters wind up being hated. On the other hand, if you're someone who's constantly giving encouragement, sowing affirmation, sowing kindness, people are going to be affirming and encouraging and kind to you in return. Maybe not everybody, because a hater's going to hate, right? But more than likely, what you're going to find, if you're a gracious person, people are going to be gracious back to you. And we find that it's not just that we give little and get the same back. The principle of the harvest tells us that when we give back even more. Now, the televangelists and others will use that to this idea that if you give to them in their ministry, God's just going to open the floodgates of heaven and give you all sorts of new things, right? But that's not what Paul's talking about here. What Paul is saying here and in other places is that what God is doing, he's looking for conduits. People through whom he can bless other people. He's looking for people who open up their lives and will bless. And what the promise here is that you won't go bankrupt giving to God. Giving for God. That God will meet your needs. Now, the reason he asks us to do this is because it's the exact opposite of our human natures, isn't it? It is our nature oftentimes to amass, to hoard, to stockpile, to accumulate, to get it all for myself. And again, we're not talking just about money. You know, we guard our calendars. We guard the remote, don't we, guys? We want to protect it. Because we want what we want, and we don't want to share. But we have a God who shares. And when it comes to money and our time and our talents, these become an acid test for our faith. Am I going to be generous and expect God to keep his promises or not? A lot of people, even believers, when it comes to money, oftentimes just act like atheists, like God isn't there, like they have control over it all. Or we can learn to trust that God is there to meet our needs. Look at verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you, now here's the key word you might want to circle, need. You will abound in every good work. Now the health, wealth, and prosperity people will say, you know, if you give away your Hyundai Elantra, you know, you'll get a BMW or a Corvette or something, because God's just going to bless you that way. That's not it. God's going to make sure you have what you need. He's going to take care of you. And we have this sense of, I only have so much, but there's something, this is where the supernatural steps in, that when we enter into a generous life, that we wind up having more of it. We wind up finding more time. We wind up finding more energy. Not so we can bless ourselves, but so that we continue to be a blessing to other people. And then finally, what generosity does is it brings glory to God. Paul writes, because of the service by which you proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. If we go back to when we were looking at the Sermon on the Mount, one of the early things that Jesus said is, let your light shine in such a way that men will see your good works and glorify your God who is in heaven. And here it is for us. And that one of the ways that we let our light shine is to lead a generous life. To be that kind of people. So how can I do this? Because it can be hard. Because we are bombarded with messages about you getting yours and hanging on to yours and make sure no one takes it away from you. So how can we do this? Well, first off, it starts with the heart. It starts with the heart. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Jesus was watching one day, and they were actually sitting there in the temple area, and they were seeing people come and give what they gave. And saw a number of people who gave out of their wealth. But then he saw one woman who didn't have anything hardly at all except these two little mites, and she gave those. And he said, that's the generous person right there. You know, if you have somebody who has $200,000 in their checking account and somebody who has $20,000 that they just live on and they both give $1,000, who's the generous person? It's about the heart and what the heart is doing and how the heart sees their stuff and how the heart sees life. You know, we oftentimes think about our lives and the spiritual aspect of our lives in a circle and kind of a pie chart. And we see church faith type issues as just one slice. And maybe for some people it's a bigger slice, maybe it's a, to others it's a smaller slice, but it's just a slice of what they do. There's work and there's family and there's hobbies, there's everything. And they just kind of keep them sort of separate. But the kingdom principle says it's all the same thing. There is no slice for God. It is all God. It is all the kingdom. And you either enter into it and let it all enter into you, or you don't. And if you're keeping it this separate little slice, you're missing out on what God wants to do, not only in you, but through you. How he wants to use you in particular. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's just break that verse down a little bit as we look how we can practice generosity. First off, we're told to give thoughtfully what you have decided in your heart to give. Now let's just talk money here just for a moment if we can. But oftentimes when we come for an offering or some other occasion where somebody needs something, you know, it's that time of year we start getting those letters in the mail asking for donations. Often we say, well, what do I have left? And we go from there. What's in my wallet right now or my billfold or whatever it is? What we need to do if we're going to be stewards is we need to plan ahead. We need to decide what of my budget is going to go to the Lord. And decide that in advance, where that's happening. To be thinking about it. And what I really want to encourage you to do is to wrestle this with God. It would be easy, wouldn't it, for me to go around and say, you give this, you give that, you give this, or here's the flat thing everybody does. But then when we do that, you can either wrestle, I don't care what you think anyway, Byron. Or it becomes, you know, just an issue of obedience rather than an issue of faith. Rather, Scripture in its whole says it is your job to go before the Lord, pray about this, and say, God, what do you want me to do? Show me how to be a generous person. Wrestle with the out what you're going to do, and are you being generous or not being generous, and why, and what's going on? And bring all that stuff to the Lord. Your fears, your hopes, whatever it is, bring that to the Lord and think about it and talk to him about it and listen to him. Read his word and what it has to say. Let his spirit talk to you about this. And then when you do that, if you do that, you can do the next thing. That is to give enthusiastically, not reluctantly. If I say, this is what you need to do, you say, well, I'll do it, but I don't want to do it. Or this is what I have to do because that's what they say I have to do, and so here it is. But if you are convinced in your mind, in your heart, this is what the Lord wants you to do, then you can go and do this enthusiastically. And then give voluntarily. Don't do it under pressure. Let's just be real clear about that. If you ever feel pressured to give, don't give. Just don't do it. If you're not coming in here on a Sunday morning and the offering plates start going around, if you're feeling like, oh, I've got to do this or else, don't. Because you're not giving from the heart any longer. This is a spiritual battle that you need to have and work through in your life so that you can know that you are doing what God is calling you to do. And if you do that, then you can get to this last part, and that is to give cheerfully, to do it with joy. You know, one of the great things that if you ever have a chance to travel into different churches, different countries, you see how they handle this all a little bit different. But in Africa, in many of the nations there, the churches there, they will dance their way up to an offering plate. Wouldn't that be fun? Us with all of our, you know, we can't even hand clap, let alone dance up here. But what joy. What joy to give. And so when you give cheerfully. Now, it won't be cheerful if you haven't really processed this out with the Lord. If you haven't really given yourself over to it. If you aren't letting it come from the heart. It will feel like something that just weighs you down. And you'll be disgruntled and discouraged and have maybe even anger. But seek the face of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Now what this is telling us here is that God's one of those leaders that leads. He's not asking us to do something he hasn't done himself. John 3:16, many of you know this. "For God so loved the world that he," what? "Gave his one and only Son, that whosoever will believe will not perish, but have everlasting life." Philippians 2 says that Jesus, being equal with God, did not consider that equality something that he had to hang on to. He gave it up, surrendered it. He was generous. God is generous in his love. He is generous in his grace for each one of us. And he leads the way for us. And so that brings us to this moment. Many of you in this room, as I look around, I know that you've given yourself over to God's grace, to his generosity. And you've accepted the gift of the Savior for your life. Some of you are just checking this out. Some of you are unsure. Some of you have questions. And I encourage you to ask those questions. We're not dogmatists here. We're not saying believe what we say or else. We're saying investigate the claims of Jesus Christ because we believe them to be true. But check them out for yourself. But then there comes that moment when we have to decide. And maybe you've done that. You've looked, you've checked, you've listened. And this morning is the morning you're ready to accept the generous grace of Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to sing a song of invitation, and we invite you to come up if you're ready. To call on the name of the Lord, to be immersed into the waters of baptism, buried with Christ, and raised to a new life. Or maybe you still have some questions to ask. Let me just encourage you, ask away. Come up after the service and see me. Find one of the elders. Find one of the teachers here. Find somebody and talk to them. Send us an email and say, "I've got questions." God loves you so much that he gave his one and only Son. Not just, we think of the world, this nebulous thing, but he loved you. And you, and you, and you, each one of us enough so that even though we experience death this side of heaven, we have the promise of eternal life. And it doesn't matter your age, whether you're 90 or 19, well, you can enter into the kingdom and you can begin to lead a generous life. You don't have to have a lot to be generous, because it starts here. When I was in college, I didn't have much money at all. Just, you know, typical college stuff. You're just getting by, got a little weekly job just to kind of have a little extra spending money and such. I found that I could be fairly generous. But there's something that happened in my life, you know, when you start to get the steady paycheck. And you start to think about holding on to it. But here's the good news. God just wants to rip that away and to give you something that satisfies even more than material stuff. He wants to give you Jesus generously. Are you ready to receive what he wants to give you? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and a chance to just dig into your word and to be reminded that you're calling us to a way of life that is generous. And you're doing so because you are a generous God. And we can be like you. We can adapt your characteristics in this way when we choose to be generous people. Whether it's our treasure or our time, our talents, that we can be people who are looking for opportunities to be a blessing to other people rather than just trying to guard our hearts and ourselves to keep from sacrificing. So speak to us, Father, each one of us here, in something that we need to hear. You know where the battles are in our lives. You know what we're wrestling with, each one of us. Father, I pray that your Spirit would knock on our hearts this very morning, this very moment. Help us to see what's there and then give us the courage to respond in faith in the path you're leading us. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.